Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this second service, and thank you for what you're just about to do. Thank you for your kindness and your mercy. I pray you affect our lives. You open our eyes. Let your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Let us see something we've never seen before. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, amen. Wow, why don't you put your hands together for the Lord, and you may please be seated. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in church this morning? Wow, it's fantastic. I want to see whether you are creative. I'm sure some of you have been struggling to be creative in your dressing. Forcing. I hope we're able to do something. See, Brother Calvin, he was struggling. It's a sign of struggling, a struggler. You get it? You should be able to, you know, I was preaching on the radio, you know, the 98.1 FM, 5:45 to 6 a.m. every Sunday, every weekday morning. We preach there. And I think I remember preaching about one of the leadership skills of if you're going to be a leader, you should be able to relate with the great and the small. Sometimes some leaders are not good leaders because they are not able to relate with both sides of the ladder. Some people are able to relate with only big people. If you are not big, if you are not rich, if you are not important, they will not relate with you. You get it? Whereas some also are stuck with the poor. If the church is filled with poor people, nobody is big in the church. Nobody is important in the church. All your church members they went to David Rose. They didn't go to any better school. They are not important anywhere. If you need something in the church, you have to struggle. I mean, you're a pastor struggler with church members struggling. It's not a nice thing at all. It's double trouble. You know, so one of the things about a great leader is that a great leader is able to relate with the rich, those above, upper class, and the lower class. If you can't relate to the upper class and the lower class, you cannot be a good leader. What I mean is that if you're a pastor and you can't bring yourself low, and you're a pastor, you can't take yourself up, because there are some pastors, when it comes to high class, they can't function. Are you with me? In a similar manner, it's also the same thing with you. Some of you, when you don't have money, you are like you are dead. You can only function when you have money. When you don't have money, it's like your life is ended. Are you with me? You know, so if you're going to be able to be successful in this life, you should be able to be up there and be down. Paul said, I know how to abase and to abound. Are you with me? So when we say, let's dress a little funny and see. Those of you who are struggling, you have some problem in the way you live your life. Because when it comes to suit, we can also wear suit and tie and shoes. When it comes to rough, I just didn't want to. Yeah, my pastor, I still have to preach, right? So I have to. I still have to put a tie on. Amen. But you're welcome to check this one, isn't it? Turn to somebody and tell them you're welcome to our powerful service this morning. Hallelujah. Well, we're still doing many accord. Next week will be our last Sunday. So this week we are on, Sunday we are on, and then we bring a close to this very, very great book written by one of the few most anointed writers in the whole world, Bishop Doug Heward Mills, the founder and the bishop of our church. So if you have your book, we want to go to a chapter. Boy, you were not here last week. Okay. Chapter 16. The appointed times of your spiritual life. 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 If you're here for the first time, you're very welcome. We are sorry we are dressing strange, but we are just free. We just want to enjoy ourselves today, the presence of the Lord, isn't it? We should be able to relate with the rich, relate with the poor, be able to relate with the high and in the low of society. Jesus flowed with all types of people, prostitutes, politicians, Pharisees, thieves. He flowed. Jesus was related with everybody. And so if you cannot relate with everybody, you have a problem if you're a Christian. Jesus had all kinds of people in his life. All right. The appointed times of your spiritual life. I want you to really, really pay attention to this chapter. It is. If you get this chapter, your life will be different. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And we want to read from verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. To everything. To everything, not to some things. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, which is the earth. To everything, you can sit down and list all the things in your life. The Bible says that to all of those things, there is a season and there is a time to it. Are you there? It goes on to say, verse 2. Do you have it? Or I should buy it, verse 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 2. I need it. Okay. A time to be born. We're going to verse 8. So walk with me. Stay with me. Be with me. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Verse 3 says that a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. You can't be embracing all your life. There's a time that you have to refrain from embracing. Verse 6, a time to get and a time to lose. You can't get all the time. I said you can't get all the time. Sometimes you must lose. It's not nice when you're losing. But there's a time too that you must lose. There's a time to get and there's a time to lose. If you do not respect these times, you will be very unhappy in your life. Because you don't determine whether you get or you lose. It comes. I tell you, a time will come, you lose your hair. No matter all the implants you do, you will lose your hair. A time will come, you lose your teeth. I mean, no matter how happy or how unhappy or how you dislike losing your teeth, you will lose your sweetie white teeth. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rent and a time to seal. A time to keep silence. Yeah, some people don't know that. They always talk. There are times you have to keep quiet and listen. And there are some people, they also don't know a time to speak. They are quiet all the time.
They don't say anything. You ask them about self, they don't have anything to say. There's a time to speak. There's a time to listen. If you speak when you have to listen, you miss something. And if you listen when you have to speak also, then you become something else. So there's a time. We are talking about the appointed times of your spiritual life. Verse 8. A time to love and a time to hate. We don't like the hate, but there's a time you must hate certain things. Yeah. A time of war and a time of peace. You want to give us 9? I like to read. It's nice. If you give me 9. Well, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? Verse 10. Let's go to verse 11. 10 and 11. I've seen the travail which God has given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Not my time. Not your time. His time. Did you know that there's a time that is God's time? That is not the time that you are looking at. And it's not the time that I am looking at. There's something called the time of God. And in that time, he makes all things beautiful. If you push it, you will spoil things. In his time, he makes all things beautiful. Also, he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. You see, one of the important things that we have to understand as we read these verses is that when it comes to spiritual things or the spiritual world, there's no time. Time is related to the earth. Are you with me? Time is not a spiritual thing. Time is a physical, it's an earthly thing. So as long as you and I have time, we have to be very careful with the timings when it comes to especially working for God and doing something for God. Because where God is, there's no time. We are the ones who have time. So you can say, oh, there's time. Oh, I have time. Oh, this. Oh, that. But really, there's no time. You are seeing it that, oh, next year. But God hasn't got any next year in his plan. I don't know if you understand the introduction of what I'm trying to say. I'm saying this, that there's a time for everything. We on earth have time. There's no time in heaven. Let's go to Revelation. The scripture is right there. Revelation chapter 10, verse 5. Jonathan, are you there? Revelation chapter 10 and verse 5. Is it working? Revelation 10 and verse 5. The Bible says that, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven. Verse 6. And swear by him that lives forever and ever. Is it, when we talk about live forever and ever, I don't understand. I don't think you understand. The one who lives irrespective of time. People normally will ask, so, who gave birth to God? You see, the time that you were born, God doesn't have that time. And it's quite difficult to comprehend because we are used to times and seasons. So to think about a place where there's no time or season, it's very difficult to understand unless you are there. If you tell you that, oh, there's snow, there's a place where it snows and the snow can come up about 12 inches of snow. We say, oh, I know about sand in Suzai, but I don't know about snow. You have to be there to really see it and understand it. But the Bible says that the one who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which therein, that there should be time no longer. When we move from here, There's not going to be 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock. There's nothing like that. 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock have been given to you and I so that we can be wise and cherish and prove our love and prove our allegiance to God faithfully. You see, anytime you think that you have long to live, you behave foolishly. Let me say it again. Anybody who has encountered or come to anybody who has experienced near death thinks if you go to, you get involved in an accident and you almost died, you behave different. It's true. If you get news right now that doctor says you don't live more than a month, you behave different. You will not fight with people. The Bible says that, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. There are appointed times of your spiritual life. Okay, and God has no time. Time is something that has been given to you and I so that, you know, as earthly beings, the moment we are earthly beings, we have been lowered. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Psalms that, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And what is the son of man that you're so concerned with? You created him a little lower than the angels. That's what King David says. So human beings, we are lower than angels. Do you get it? We are lower. In our lower life, God has given us time, because without time, we will not be able to comprehend where we are going, where we are coming. I mean, we are so linked and connected to time that if you don't have a watch, you don't have a phone, you don't have anything that tells you the time, you get confused. You know, sometimes you don't even know whether it's Monday or Tuesday if you don't take care. You find yourself sometimes when we go for camps, we are there 2 days, 3 days. You can easily forget which day it is, because you are out of the regular thing that we have been giving, God has given to us. When he created the heavens and the earth, and he said he called one of the times day, and he called one of the times night. So time is something that God has given to us. And he has given us time, okay, physically here on earth, for us to be able to do things in the right way, in the proper time, in appropriate sense. Are you with me? And therefore, the Bible actually says that we must redeem the time, for the days are evil. Never think that you have time enough for anything. Never think about that. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. You and I can never come back to earth. So, the time you have here on earth is something... Boy, your time you have here on earth, you will not get it again, you know. You will not get it again. If you like, you can dream to be 5 years old again. You cannot. So as we go along, this time that we are in this season, you will not get it back. This season where I am encouraging people to give their life to God, to go to Bible school, to become pastors, it's just a season. It will pass. And if you don't see things and grab the moment, oh man, what? You sit down and say, oh, wasted years, how foolish. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. What does the Bible say? And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in relaxation, in excitement, in fear. Because time has been given to you and I for a particular purpose, you know. Because one day when you stand before God, he's going to ask you, the time I gave you, what did you do with it? Now we want to use our time to do all sorts of things. That's why only older people go to certain churches. Young people don't like to go to church. Because we always think that, oh, when I grow up, oh, when I marry, oh, when I have children, oh, when I finish school. You finish school? You see, that's something that I was a little confused about it, but, you know, it's gone. When we started sending people to Bible school in Ghana, one of the things that, you know, we were very careful about was that, you know, sometimes the person is young, maybe the person should, you know, continue school after CXC and all of that. But you see, I came to realize that the people that God has given here in Guyana, there's no time. There's no time. If we delay, something will happen. That one day God will ask us, why did you think he was small? Why do you think she was young? Why? God is giving us time now. You see, many people are deceived by time. Because one of the reasons why God gave us time also, to even show, to prove our love to him. Because look at the 24 hours you have in a day. How many of the 24 hours do we really give to God? Yeah. Even your little 15, 20 minutes quiet time in the morning to read your Bible and have fellowship with God, even that one, we have to be on you. Did you do your quiet time? Did you read your Bible? Did you pray? The church and the pastor has to be on you. So it's like even the time that God has given to us, we're not faithful about it. How much more his call? How much more his work? You want to see something deadly happen to you before you give your heart to God? You want to see something bad happen to you before you say you want to be a pastor? You want to see something evil happen to you before you say that, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? You are waiting for time. You are waiting for a good time. When you invite people to church, they say, a good day. Pray that every day will be a bad day. When you say a good day, it means that every day is going to be a bad day for you. That's what it is. Because you are waiting for the good day to come to church. So a good day will never come. You always have a bad day. And then you will always be prevented in making that choice to come into the house of the Lord. Whereas time is not on your side. The Bible says, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. We don't have time. You see, that is why I was preaching this morning, you know, first service, and I was saying that many of the things in this life are just there to keep our minds away from God. They are there to tell us that there's no God. I was, you know, there's this satanic temple worship, satanic church in, it's not church, satanic occult something in Detroit, Michigan. They have made a Baphomet, and they've put him inside on the stage of their temple or whatever they call it. And you know, Baphomet has a goatish hair. The head is of a goat, but the form is like a human being, a bit of a woman, a bit of a man. Now, it's fine if you want to take a pig and make it your god. It's fine. But what they say they want to do is that in Oklahoma City, we have the Ten Commandments as a huge kind of image in front of the state building. So let's say like the Parliament House in Oklahoma City. They have the Ten Commandments on a big stone like that in front of the building. These satanic worshippers are saying that they want to take that image, the Baphomet, and go and put it next to the Ten Commandments. That's what they want to do. Why? The question is, why? If you want to serve a goat, serve a goat. Why do you want to bring the goat close to the Ten Commandments? I said that if you're a man, you say you love a man, that's fine. But when you say I should marry you and I say I cannot, don't take me to court. Because just as you want to have sex with a man, I also have the choice to also say I will marry you. So why is it that if I say I will not, I rather should go to jail? You who is going through anus, you are going to somebody's anus, you can't go to jail. The whole thing, you see, think about something small, something very innocent like a mortgage. When the people give you money at the bank for mortgage, what are they trying to tell you? Waste your time. They are saying, don't pass your living here on earth in fear. Pass it in. Oh, I know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know what is going to happen tomorrow? Do you know what is going to happen tomorrow? That's a guy. Is Odell here? Where's Odell? Odell is not here. Ah!
There's a guy who goes to a church in Diamond. You're supposed to give a testimony today. He's part of the group that I'm encouraging to go to Bible school. And he's like that. I hear he was on the highway. Only it took God to keep him alive. He got it. Is it an accident or something? And the bonnet of his car came flying on the windscreen. He said, it took God to keep the guy alive. He should be there. If he doesn't go to Bible school, another one will happen to him. No, you can't joke with time. You see, when you go through something like that, then you realize that, hey, what about if I had gone? Then whatever you don't want to serve God because of, it's finishing. It's finished. Time is gone. You see, me, by the grace of God, I am a preacher. I've been preaching for 20 years. You have never even started to preach. So if I die right now, Sister Denise, at least I preach for 20 years. If I go, God will say, what, my son, what did you do for me? I said, God, why? 20 years. I preach your word. He said, yeah, true. I thought you had forgotten. I said, so where's my apartment now? Can I go to my apartment? God said, yeah, go to your apartment. I'll go. And then God will call you. And said, stand up. What did you do with the time I gave you? He said, I was young. I was waiting till when I was pastor's age also. I have preached for, look at how young I am. I've been preaching for 20 years. It means I started preaching very, very young. I'm not 50 as yet. Yeah. So it means that I started preaching in my early 20s. Yeah. If you don't preach, what are you going to do? Become a doctor. You open dentist. You open people's mouth. Uh-huh. You filling cavities. Is that all you can spend your life on, filling people's cavities? People's smelling mouths. That's what you want to do with your life. Because you have time. How you want to clean? I want cleaning today. Okay, come. You can't brush your teeth in the house. I should brush your teeth for you. The Bible says, pass out. Pass the time of your sojourning. Your sojourning means pass the time of your journey here in fear. It's like you can't do anything permanent. You can't get yourself into something that will take your mind off where we are heading towards. All of us are heading towards eternity. You better do something here now that will guarantee a better judgment in eternity. I wish Odell Andrews was here this morning. He almost lost his life on the highway. Yeah, because he went to the farm. Anytime you look for him, you can't get him. Where were you? I was at the farm. Yeah. They're taking the call of God lightly. Boy, they're taking it lightly. I tell you, before I actually came to Guyana, I used to always have a dream and I'm in school. I mean, I was a school prefect, a head prefect, when I was in school, A-level and all of that, sixth form. So right after I became a Christian and then I started preaching, I will always have this dream. I'm back in school and I'm still a senior prefect. You know, I'm doing this. I had that dream for years. When I came to Guyana, the dream stopped. I don't know why. But I believe as a spiritual person that my coming to Guyana had something to do with a dream that I used to have. I believe it. Because when I came to Guyana, I stopped. I don't dream anymore that I was in school. I'm not a student anymore. But I see myself that I am now maybe a head prefect in charge of students now. So God says, okay, finally, You have found yourself where I want you to be. So I won't tell you again. It is only God who is rich in mercy who can show us what we must do now. It's because it's like, if you don't do this thing now, something evil is ahead. What are you going to do with your life? Your sojourning here on earth must be with fear. Hakima, don't you hear
young people like you die before? Huh? Oh, what makes you think that you'll be okay? You are beautiful. You are cute. So you will live longer. Hey, there are people who are more cuter than you. Cute, cuter, cutest. They were cutest, but they are gone. Yeah. I remember this. I always remember this guy who, the plane that got lost in the jungle some time ago. They never found the plane, never found the pilot, never found the other guy who was, you know, the crew member. You see, you spend your life to go to nautical college to learn how to be a pilot, not knowing that you're going to die in the same plane. Look at, now they are saying that probably the parts of the plane that have been washed ashore, one of the islands is maybe MH370, the Malaysian Airlines, that got missing. They found the parts, they are washing out. The sea is very powerful. It has kept the plane, aeroplane in it for months. Now, is washing some of the parts to an island. And they have started looking at it and investigating, trying to identify that if it is MH370 that is up here. All your life, you want to be a pilot. It's nice to be a pilot. Have you forgotten that some planes disappear? So when you disappear and you meet God, what are you going to say? I always wanted to be a pilot. So I wanted to just do pilot for 5 years, and then after that, I would have given my heart to you. Time and the plane disappeared. So it's the plane. God, please blame the plane. It's not me, it's the plane. I like this first point. Let's look at this first point and we'll close. The appointed times that will affect your work for God. All right? The first is the time of your birth. The time of your birth. Page 104. The time of your birth. A time to be born and a time to die. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 2. Remember, the time you are born, God knows why you were born in 1989. I was born when I was born because of what God wanted me to do with my life. I have met the people that I have met because of the time I was born to be able to do what God wanted me to do. Yeah? Think about it. If I was now being born, where would I be? I'll probably never meet Bishop Dagwood Mills. Probably never become a pastor. Probably never become a missionary to Guyana. Probably never start a church. And if all of that, you also not come into the picture also. The time of your birth is a very, very important time. It is an appointed time. Yeah. Why are you a teenager now in a church where we are encouraging teenagers to give their heart to God's work? Because your birth was appointed to coincide with this thing that we are doing here, so that you will fall in that thing that God wants you to fall into. It's not by accident. It's not by accident. It's not by accident. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee. According to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. At the time appointed. You see, your mother met your father at the time that they will be born, you will be born. In fact, sometimes your mother even goes through a miscarriage just so that the one who has to born to be in the particular time, it gets born and gets into the particular time. That's why when you are serving God, you can't count everything as a misfortune. No. The Bible says that all things work together for good, including the bad things. All things will work together. The Bible doesn't say some things or good things. All things. I believe that the church coming to East Lapenitan was for something. Yeah. At least for not for every, at least for Prince.
I said, if not for anybody, at least for Prince.
That time that we were the people were asking more money from us from the Dockers Club on High and Durban Street for us to move to St. John's College. And then when we got this, all of that was timing. At the appointed time. Appointed time. He said, at the appointed time, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. And Sarah shall have a son. So Sarah would can force 200 years. If the time is not appointed, it is not appointed. So one of the things you must remember is that you are born at the time that God wants you to be born.
Shaquille,
I tell you. No. Our coming together is not a mistake. You are not a mistake. There's nothing about us here that is a mistake. You see, Jesus Christ had to be born. Somebody was supposed to come and be the forerunner. Right? But with all of that, time was very important. So, do you know what God did? Because John the Baptist was supposed to come through Elizabeth, God closed Elizabeth's womb. Otherwise, Zachariah would have given birth to some. He would have spoiled the womb. Because Zachariah, he was
wild.
So whilst he was shooting, he couldn't hit the bullseye for years. I mean, very disappointed, very sad. And that's what happens to sometimes happens to you and I. When we go through some few negative things in our life, we get so discouraged, we get so bored, we get so stressed up, not knowing that there's something called appointed time.
Appointed time.
And once it is not time, you can jump, you can run, you can kick, or you can do whatever. The door will not open to you. I said the door will not open to you. Because you and I don't determine these things. It's all God who determines these times. So John was chosen to be the forerunner. But he was not supposed to be born before a few months. You know, he was supposed to be born, and then Jesus would have been born also a few months after that. So 6 months. So it was not appropriate for Elizabeth to be pregnant. No child. You have to wait 20 years. You need 20 years of barrenness. Because if the child comes now, he will miss the timing. And God's time, it must be exact. So God shuts Elizabeth's womb. He shuts the womb like that. And at a time when Elizabeth and Zachariah get their breakthrough, an angel appears to Mary also in Jerusalem. So Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. At the moment she goes to visit her, then the kids begin to get excited. And Elizabeth says, oh, and Mary comes here all the time. But what was this thing here I'm feeling? John the Baptist was so excited because, the timing is right. I am going before you. John the Baptist in the womb saw Jesus' mother. Is that not what the Bible says? That when the child, when Mary met Elizabeth, the child leaped in her womb. John the Baptist was excited. He was getting the chance to meet the Savior's mother. Because the woman came to tell her cousin about the angel and all of that. John said, I'm here. I'm coming. So the time of your birth is very, very important. Very, very disappointed. I know stories of children who people tried to abort. It didn't go. They drank whatever. In my country, Ghana, they mash bottles. Yeah, crazy, crazy. They mash bottles and they put it in something and they drink it. Craziness.
Child still come.
Yeah. All kinds of things. That's a young girl who was in our church some time ago. She said, the father, up to now, the father doesn't love her. She's the only one in the home that the father has some funny feeling towards. When we went into it, the mother told me, they said, Pastor, this very child, when I was pregnant with her, the man said, He got all the tablets, everything, whatever. He said, Pastor, I drank it and all that. It didn't work. So it's like the child came out even with the hatred of the father. It's like, I don't want this thing. Why are you trying to bring it? And the woman couldn't do anything. Because the time of your birth is appointed. Pastor, his son was born at the time that he was born, so that when I come here, he'll be playing keyboard so that he can come and be in the church that I am going to be a pastor of. Because it cannot be now that I'm saying, can you please learn how to play the keyboard? No. I mean, we will not be here. You will not be here. To each and every one of us, you were born at that time so that you'll be experiencing what you experienced. Like this young man who came to church today. It's not by head. Well, stand up again. Stand up. What's the name again? Nicholas. 17 years old. He frightened microphone. Nicholas is afraid of the microphone. That's why he's here. So that a time will come, he'll be very comfortable with the microphone. And some of you are like that. When we bring the microphone, say, it don't bite you. We speak through it. It doesn't bite. Yeah. Appointed times of your life. Some of you give birth to that young girl at the time that she'll meet us here, at the time that God needed her. Same thing with your son also. Lady Pastor Mary's first child, Aseda. Microphone. What are my black brothers? Yeah. Is she the one crying too? You mentioned her name, she's crying. What was the name of your first child?
Yes, Adam.
Your second one?
Aseda.
Aseda. Where were you living about 8 years ago?
Lemke, Milton Keynes.
Where is that? Heaven or hell?
Yes, in London.
In London. You're living in London? Yes. Wow. And then when you came here, you gave birth.
Yes, I gave birth.
You came to give birth here in Guyana instead of London. Yeah. Who would do that? Because George Sunday can kill you. You came, you left London,
yes,
you came to give birth here.
Yes, Reverend.
Why? Why would you leave the comfort of medical development and advancement? I was listening to Benny Hinn. He was giving a testimony about when he went to the hospital. He said his heart was functioning at 70%. He almost died. He said he couldn't get up from the bed. And he said, I thank God for medical technology. He said, Catherine Kuma used to say it. He said that if God doesn't heal you, you must believe God for a very, very good doctor. Hey, because if God doesn't heal you, it means you should find some, you should find a good person to heal you. Hallelujah. So, why would you leave England and come and give birth here? In Guyana. I mean, it's people give birth here. You were born here anyway. It's not a problem. But you see, if you're in London and you were pregnant, like how Lady Pastor Mary was pregnant when she came here with her husband, Pastor Ralph, you would have said, man, let me give birth. Let me give birth. When I finish, then we can go on this Guyana trip. You know, we don't even know where we are going. Like Pastor Greg came, somebody told Pastor Greg that people walk here in Boktok. People don't wear anything. People who live here, they only wear Boktok. So why would Lady Pastor Mary leave England and come and give birth here in Guyana? I believe at that particular time, I believe that it is all in the appointment. Yeah.
Stand up, sir. Thank you, Lady Pastor. He's a real man. All the men are here. This is the real one.
What? Your son? What's your son's name? The little boy there who traveled the other day. What's his name?
Come. So that the people will see you. This real man. Pastor, his son here, but this is the real man. You have a son called Nkosi.
Yes, we have.
Where is he?
Africa, Ghana.
He's in Africa, Ghana. Wow. What is he doing there?
Studying to be a bishop.
To be a bishop. I like that one. We are going up. Now, did you ever dream that Nkosi Emmanuel Hema would want to become a pastor?
No, ever.
Are you sure you didn't, when you gave birth to him, you didn't say, Lord, this one, this Nkosi one, bishop, please.
No,
you didn't pray that prayer?
No, ever.
Maybe I should ask your wife. Maybe she prayed that prayer. Where's Now, even if you ask Brother Brian how he came to the church, his wife is the spy of the family. She's the KGB agent. So she spied on us. She went on the net and checked on us. And then asked around about us. We were here minding our own business in Isla Penitence. Then she comes and she sits at the back there where Tia is sitting with the black hat. Tia, stand up. Hey, where Tia? Hey, sits right there. You look like somebody in the front. Okay, all right. Come to sit there quietly. Quietly, after church, she doesn't talk to anybody and she walks out. Some of the days, I wonder whether this is not a spy or something. Who is this woman? Not only that, she was spying for him. And then at a point when I think they agreed or whatever, discussed, it's a good place to go. Then they came with their children. And then they're around in the church. And then Bible school. And then he has a son. Nkosi is what, 18 years now?
Yes, sir.
He's 18 years. He was 17 then.
Yes, sir.
Nkosi finished CXC Bible. He said, Bible school. Well, what did you think about it?
At first, I didn't really agree, but...
At first, you didn't really agree, no. Like all of us.
But it's the calling. I believe the time is now, and the calling is right, so...
Wow. You see, I am sure that many of us will be happy to have a doctor in our family, isn't it? How many of us will be excited that out of your children, one becomes a doctor? Oh, only four people. How many of you will also be excited that out of your children, one will become a pastor? Hey, only three people. A bishop. Let's say a bishop. I see, your child becoming a pastor and a bishop is not something that we really even understand. My father wanted me to become a doctor. I tell you. He wanted me to be a doctor. Hey! Even though I didn't become a doctor, when I became a pastor, he told me to put on my collar and take a portrait and bring it so he'll put it in our living room. I tell you, I don't know whether he would have asked me that if I became a doctor. So I took one with my cross. Black suit. And I said it to him. He put it up there. Yeah. I said, this man, he always called me pastor. My father changed it. He didn't call me my name. No, every day, it's pastor. One day he said, pastor, I have a question. Hey, me now, my father, who is how many years old? I'm number 6 out of his 8 children. He said, sit down, I want to ask you a question. I said, yes, daddy. He said, are Jombi, are they real? Are Jombis real?
Now, a big man like my father, 70-something years at that time, is asking his son if zombies are real. Now, he's a big man. What does he do? It's me. He's come to find out zombie. I started to preach. I started to explain. I started to say. He said, thanks, Pastor. Sometimes when I visit them, he would say, come. I don't want your mother to hear. Come. And I will go and sit somewhere. He said, your mother, she's very disrespectful, you know. And I'll do marriage counseling. Can you believe that? I do marriage counseling in my own house. Me. If I was a doctor, all he would come is that, oh, my hand, please. Except my leg. Except my back. Except my eyes. That's all. But his life, his marriage, he would tell me about it. And he would say that he regretted not marrying two women. And I was smart because I don't know what to say when he said that. That one is in my marriage counseling book. How do you tell your father, no, you can't talk like that? So you smile. Hey, this man. I'm the only pastor in my family, even though my sisters are married to pastors. It's a blessing. Our family is so blessed. If the man is not a pastor, he's either involved with church or the lady is married to a pastor. Yeah. Half of my sisters are married to pastors. It's one of the most honorable things you can do with your life. So when Nkosi and his father, and you see the other one, he didn't stay. So it's also appointed. The big one. It's also appointed. But Nkosi came around and just for a short time. And I was talking to one of the pastors who is in charge of them. He said, Nkosi is the youngest, but he's one of the most focused of all of them. Yeah, that's what he told me. He said he's very focused on all of them. Isn't it fantastic? Thank you very much, sir. God bless your heart. Bless your heart. Jonathan, stand up. Please, let's stand. My time is up. Come, Jonathan. As for you, where's Daniel? Come. See, all of you were brought. Come here. How old are you, Jonathan?
I'm 23.
What did we do wrong? Please, lift it up.
Reverend, I'm 13.
You are 13. Wow. How old are you?
15.
You are 15. But you were 12 the other day. You are?
I'm running.
You are running where?
I want to reach fast.
You want to reach where fast? Speak properly.
I want to reach fast. I want
where?
To Ghana.
You want to go to Ghana?
Yeah.
Why?
To study to become a pastor.
You want to be a pastor?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Oh, you're not happy. Jonathan, talk to me. What about you?
Yes, sir. I want to become a bishop.
You
want to
become a bishop? When you become a bishop, then I'll be a pope. Oh? Once you become a bishop, I must be a pope. I must be his pope, his holiness. When I go to Ezekiel, I'll kiss the ground. I say, mwah, the Lord bless this place. What do you think?
Yes, sir.
Now, you see, all these guys, think about it. If we had not met at the time that we are meeting, I don't know what he would have become. Look at, we become a Muslim, yeah. Where's your sister? Where's your sister? Where's Andriska? Andriska here. Where's the other one? Atina, they are not here. Yeah, your sister was a Muslim, isn't it?
Yes, Reverend.
Both of them?
Yes, Reverend.
They were Muslims?
Yes, sir.
So what do you think you couldn't have been a Muslim too?
Yeah.
They was asking me for.
They were asking you if you join to be a Muslim.
Yes, sir.
You get something on your head. You wear a maxi like a girl. Even Jonathan, 13 years old, growing up. What is he looking to? What, your mother? You're going to be a head teacher? Is that what you want to be?
No, Rev.
No, head teacher is good. God had to give him something to look up to. That's why God will keep you alive longer and protect you. Yeah. So you do what he wants you to do. Amen. I can't wait to see Jonathan finish CXC and then go. Yeah. What do you think? Nice pastor. Yes, but you can't sleep when you're preaching. No? All right. Put your hands together for them. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. My God. Why don't you close your eyes with me?
Father, I believe in Christ the Son.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
My God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, and we will rise again. For I believe in the name of God. I believe in God.
Do you really believe in God?
I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three and one.
I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of.
I believe in God the Father.
Resurrection, that we will rise again.
For I believe in the name of Jesus.
I believe in life eternal.
Come on, somebody lift up your voice.
Comes again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Father, thank you so much for speaking to our hearts. We are definitely going to redeem the time we have here on earth. We are going to live this life here in fear. Thank you for the opportunities that you are giving to us now that it is time, because we don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. Thank you for opening our eyes. In Jesus' name.
You are not saved. You are not born again. You want to go to heaven when you die. This is a prayer you must pray. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life, and I am born again now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.